All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome. And a special welcome to Reverend Dr. Peter Byrne from South Africa, from the minister of nowadays of the Fearful Church of the Maranatha, what you call it, the Maranatha Fearful Church in Pretoria in South Africa. Although he used to be in charge of mission work in South Africa, particularly in Soshanguve, if I remember rightly, and way before that, one of my colleagues as a minister in the Netherlands. So we do know each other quite a long ways. I'd like to open this evening with a couple of readings, the readings that Reverend Byrne has selected for us. First of all, from Psalm 24. Come in, we all know you're late, so it doesn't matter. Right, Psalm 24, a psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The second passage we'll read is from Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll read the first 19 verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. We're going to sing first, and then I'll open with prayer. With the singing, Reverend Byrne has requested that we sing three verses of Psalm 99, the verses 1, 2, and 6. However, just to get a little bit of the flavor of the evening, he has requested that we sing verse 2 in Afrikaans. So the text is going to be beamed on the board, but I'm just going to get him to speak us through the pronunciation of Afrikaans, because it's a little bit deceptive sometimes. It's not quite the same as Dutch. So I'll ask him to read that through for us.
Well, brothers and sisters, I think there are so many ex-South Africans here, so why should I say it? But you want me to quickly read it? Okay. God wat help, een nood is in Sion groot, al die volke mag, niks by hom geacht, hoog gedug sy naam, laat al amal saam, lofsing tot sy ere, heilig is die Here.
Okay, you can turn the microphone off. Let's ask the Lord for a blessing. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that we can be here this evening, that we can meet in all freedom, that we are not hindered. And we give you thanks, Lord, that we're able to hear a speech this evening about your churches, your churches as they manifest themselves in South Africa. Lord, we do understand already that they there have particular challenges that we do not face in this country. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given us here in Australia. But we also want to pray for our brothers and sisters in South Africa. And we give you thanks that we have an opportunity this evening to learn more about them and the witness that they are privileged to be able to bring also in that culture and that country. And so we ask for your blessing upon this evening and upon our sister churches there and our brothers and sisters. We ask this humbly in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. It is a huge privilege for me to stand here this evening and to see all of you coming on this evening in the middle of the week to listen to our presentation on the mission work, not only, but all the work of the sister churches in South Africa.
Sorry, that's the one you're looking for there.
This one. Okay. And I especially want to thank the Church of Rockingham and also Reverend Anderson for inviting me and also preparing everything and giving the opportunity that we can be here. So thank you very much. Thank you for all the hospitality that we enjoy. It's my first time in Australia, so it's quite a way to cross the Indian Ocean, but it's worthwhile. So yeah, it's very good to be here. Right, let me give you some bit of an overview of your sister churches in South Africa. After my presentation, there will be some opportunity to ask questions. However, when you have a burning question or you don't agree with something, please stand up and you are also welcome to speak up. So we'll keep it informal. Let's see if this thing works. Okay, let me try and start introducing myself. My name is Peter Boone, and I'm minister of the Free Reformed Church in Maranatha. It's one of the two Free Reformed Churches in Pretoria. I'm married to Jenny, and I'm privileged to have her with me also this evening and this trip in Australia. Normally, when I go on a trip, I take her along, but this time it's the other way around. I'll tell you about that later. That was when we were climbing Table Mountain, but perhaps it's a clearer picture of our family. We are blessed with four children, oldest Jonathan and then Lydia, and then our two youngest sons, Arian and Manix. Now, sorry, this one is going too fast now. The reason why we are here is this time I'm traveling with my wife. She was invited to give private art classes to her sister-in-law. So, and I'm privileged to come along. So, my wife is an artist, and I'm the husband of that artist. Yeah. You didn't come for art this evening. You came for the churches. So, let's proceed with the churches in South Africa. Here you see the map of the southernmost point of Africa between the Atlantic and Indian Oceans. And we have in total 9 provinces, and the Free Reformed Churches are located in 2 of those provinces. The oldest church is in Pretoria, instituted 1950. Mainly of Dutch immigrants, very much comparable to the history here in
Australia after Free Reformed Churches. The second church was a split off when Pretoria became too big, Maranatha. Then the church of Mamelodi is a former mission church that was planted by the mission, but now it's a self-governing church. And the same applies to Sosangwe North, also an ex-mission church, now self-governing. Those are the four independent churches in the province of Gauteng, more in the north of the country. And then when we move to a little bit more south, we have Johannesburg. There's also a congregation. And then even more south, we have Cape Town, congregation there, and Ballar. Now, Ballar is also a ex-mission church. So those seven churches are the self-governing independent churches of the Free Reformed Churches in South Africa. So it is a smaller federation compared to your federation. However, we are blessed with quite some mission work. Let me show you our mission points or mission churches. The first is, I just abbreviated it, Sosangwe South. Then there is one in Nelmapius. Then there is one in Sosangwe Southeast. And also one in Sosangwe F4. Those are the names of the suburbs. And then also in the Western Cape, there are mission plants. Westbank is a mission plant. And Leiden. And also Visantekraal. Those are the mission churches in the south. South Africa is typically also a country of many immigrants, so you'll find many towns with Dutch names, many towns with German names, many towns with British names, towns with French names, they are all there. So let me just give you also the names. We have two classes, classes north, the four churches. Pretoria, the oldest church, is at this moment vacant, although Reverend Erik van Alten, he accepted a call and he hopes to come in November 2019, this year, God willing, returning to South Africa because he is born South African. Then Maranatha is where I'm ministering. Then Mamelodi, we have Reverend Sam Matlokwane, and then the Church of Sosangwe is currently vacant. And then classes south, Cape Town, Reverend Johan Branches. He was born in South Africa, but most of his life he lived in Colorado in the States. But now he's back in South Africa. And then in Johannesburg, currently vacant, but I hope to receive soon a candidate. Also an ex-South African coming back from the United States, Antoine Tron. And then the ex-mission church, Ballar, has Reverend Peter Abrams as their part-time minister. That is the picture of the self-governing churches. And then when we move to the mission churches in Classes North, we are privileged with a couple of missionaries. There are no vacancies, as you can see. Sosangwe South, Rev. Phineas Katle. Southeast, Reverend Thabo Matlaila. F4, Reverend Piet Magagula. Nelmapius, Reverend George Mnisi. And there are two more additional missionaries, Reverend Hannes Breitenbach, very much involved also with theological training, and also Rev. Dirk Boersma. And then in Classes South, we have the mission work in Westbank, Reverend Carl van Wijk. And God willing, this mission post hopes to institute in the near future. And then there's also a mission work in Leiden, where Reverend Peter Abrams is part-time missionary. And as you saw on the previous slide, he's also part-time minister of the Church of Belar. And then also in Klasse South, there are two more additional missionaries, Rev. Jopie van der Linden and Rev. Linus van Voort. So that is the situation with regards to our churches. Let me just show you some pictures. This is the oldest church, the church in Pretoria, church building. The inside, and as I told you, currently vacant, and by the end of the year they will have a new pastor, God willing. So that is the church in Pretoria. Then we have the Free Reformed Church, Vrije Gereformeerde Kerk, Pretoria, Maranatha, where I am serving. That is not far, about 6 kilometers from the Church of Pretoria. This is their church building. Just a few pictures of their church building. Our church building, actually. I don't have pictures of all the churches, but I just show a few to give you an impression. This is the Free Reformed Church of Sossengwe North, self-governing church, and currently without a pastor, vacant. Yeah, this is, I think, just after church. Most people, they walk to church. This is the Free Reformed Church of Johannesburg. This is where Reverend Keith Klein used to be the minister, who is retired now, living here in Beldivis. The Free Reformed Church of Johannesburg. A few Sundays ago, we celebrated the Lord's Supper. And as I told you, they are currently vacant, and they hope to receive candidate Antoine Tron. This is a picture of the Free Reformed Church in Cape Town, outside, inside. We are privileged also to have Reformed Education. Here you see a photo of the Reformed School, Reformed Primary School, John Calvin, next to the Pretoria Church. It's a private school. We not really receive any subsidy from government. I think we receive something like 15%, and the rest, it's the responsibility of the parents and the church community. Some pictures of the school. I am sure you also would experience that, but a lot of positive influence of a school community on the larger church community. Also in Sossengwe, there is a Christian school called Lesedi Ladichaba, Light of the Nations, that is what it means. That is the school in Sossengwe, making use also of the church building. And then we have a Reformed High School called Dirk Posma. This is a picture of the Reformed High School, also in Pretoria. Let's move to the mission work. We are privileged to do quite some mission work, and we stand in a very long tradition of mission work in South Africa through the ages. Much mission was done, and we may continue that to Christianize the peoples of Africa. Here you see the Gospel of Matthew in one of the languages of the black people in South Africa, the Sotho language, Evangelia Matteo, the Gospel of Matthew. The missionaries came to the shores of Africa from the 18th and 19th century, and one of the first things they always did was to translate the Bible into that language, to put that language also in writing, because the black nations didn't have a writing culture, and also then to translate the Bible as soon as possible. So the Bible, for example, in this language of Sotho was translated even before the Bible was translated in Afrikaans. Afrikaans, as you know, is closely related to Dutch. Mission work in Shoshanguve, a privilege to receive always many guests in the church and preaching the gospel over there. We do a lot of what we call new members classes, people who are interested to become church members. We visit them at home. We give them often individual new member classes and in that way coach them on their way towards repentance and also joining the Church of Christ. Home visits, evangelism happens in the streets of Shoshanguve. Here we see Reverend Matlaila evangelizing. Bible studies at the church. And yeah, as a missionary, you are tasked to preach the gospel and as soon as it is possible, also to administer the sacraments. So it's also a blessing to give the sacraments to the newly repented who joined the Church of Christ. Lord's Supper, of course, and also baptism. And we are really privileged on a frequent basis also to baptize adults. It's interesting, this man you see here, Mr. Mthlangu, his wife first joined the church, and he always was very negative about the church. And he was still venerating the ancestors. And but he saw the change in his wife's life. And at a certain moment, he couldn't resist anymore. And then he also started coming to church. And he, on this Sunday, he professed his faith and he was baptized. Also here you see a young mother professing her faith and receiving baptism, after which also her child was baptized. And an important task is also to teach the youth of the church. So we provide them with material, we give Sunday school and catechism classes. Also for the older youth, we have the Heidelberg Catechism, which is also very much usable in Africa because the topics of the Heidelberg Catechism straight away comes from the Bible. So you definitely can use them. Here you have an edition of the Heidelberg Catechism, both in the local language of Sepedi and English. I thought I'll show you some pictures also from inside this book. As we deal with the different Lord's Days, we also make sure that they understand what is meant. So we give them the question and then the youth, they can choose one of the answers. So let me try and test you this evening and see if you can give us the right answer. Sorry, this went too fast. What does God forbid in the Eighth Commandment? First, answer A, this commandment forbids all theft and robbery from a fellow Christian. Or B, this commandment forbids theft from someone who is in the same community as I, and it forbids violent robbery in all circumstances. Or C, this commandment forbids all theft and robbery, also fraudulent schemes to acquire something, and even greed and the abuse of our own possessions. So I'm present. Yeah, I hear the right answer. Indeed, it is C. But it shows you a little bit the environment the people live in and the views, the worldviews people live with, also with regards to possessions and stealing and all those things. The second one, what does God require in the Eighth Commandment? A, God requires that all people on earth should be equal in wealth and possessions. Is that what he requires in the Eighth Commandment? Or B, God requires that I must do my work faithfully and even be willing to share my possessions with those in need. Or C, God requires that I must lay off all my material possessions, preparing for my life in heaven. So what would be the right answer here? I'm sure you know. Indeed, it's B. But yeah, if you start thinking, the other answers might sound also quite plausible in certain contexts. So it's important for the youth from outside the church to bring them up and let them start thinking in a biblical way. Often there are also a lot of misunderstandings about Christianity and about the Bible. You have the well-known social gospel, which actually preaches number A. And then you also have, of course, the message that is often heard in the Roman Catholic Church that is preaching number C. A very important task of the mission is also to train local people for the ministry. So during the past decade or two, we really started training a lot of local young men to serve in the ministry. And here you see Reverend George Manisi when he was ordained as a pastor, as a missionary in the Church of Maranatha. This is another picture of him, Reverend George, with his wife and three children. He is a missionary in El Maypias, and over there they don't have their own church building yet, so on the Sundays they would worship in the local primary school in one of the classrooms. This is a picture of one of our other ministers, Reverend Sam Matlukwane. He's the pastor of Mamelodi. And this is one of our newest mission points, the Free Reformed Church F4, Eersterus. And there, Reverend Piet Magagula is ministering. Here you see one of the buildings of the mission church in Sosinguwe Southeast. And my wife painted here all the animals flogging towards the Ark of Noah, being also a symbol of the church being the Ark of the New Testament. Sunday school, teaching the youth. And currently, Reverend Thabo Matlaila is the minister in Sosinguwe Southeast. I used to be the missionary there, but when I was called to Maranatha, then he took over from me. This is the mission work in the Cape, in West Bank, and Reverend Carl van Wyk is the missionary there. And as I said, God willing, they hope to institute soon. Moving on to something else closely related to the mission work, and that is also help, diaconal help, upliftment work on the mission field. For example, by Kota Tsong AIDS Committee. Now, Kota Tsong is the Sotho word for place of rest or place of encouragement. And this committee especially works among all those people who are infected by HIV/AIDS or perhaps others, especially the children who are affected by the illness. For example, they lost their parents. So this committee is doing a lot of different activities, varying from spiritual care, palliative care, even care to foster children, all different activities they have to those infected or affected by HIV/AIDS. And yeah, it's really a huge pandemic still in Africa, South Africa being, I think, the country in the world that is hit hardest by this epidemic. The top one is a house that was built to cater for foster children, especially from Children who lost their parents because of HIV/AIDS. This is another initiative going out from our churches, and that is called the Reformational Study Center. And on the picture you see Reverend Jopie van der Linden. He is the missionary working on that. And this whole initiative started about 10 years ago because of circumstances, because Reverend van der Linden used to be the pastor of Johannesburg. He was a candidate. He was ordained as Johannesburg minister, but only after a year he had to retire because of illness. It turned out that he could not live in the city with all the pollution. He had huge lung problems, so he had to retire, and he had to move to a place outside the city to live there. But then they started to set up this initiative, reaching with the internet. Many people, especially in Africa, sharing the gospel via internet, putting a lot of reformed material on the internet for people to use. And I think you must bear in mind that many of the pastors all over in Africa, they are pastors, but in the first place, they didn't have a training, and in the second place, they don't have a library. So it's very useful for those type of people in Africa to make use of the Reformational Study Center, because nowadays, even to the remotest corner of Africa, there is internet. So if they can reach via internet the study center will provide them with sermon outlines or with proper reformed material to prepare their sermons. And yeah, there are quite some volunteers also helping with this project, volunteers from our churches like this lady, one of the members of my congregation. If you are interested, in the year 2014, this book was published, The Funeral of Mandela, Mission in a Changing Continent. And I wrote it because we celebrated 50 years of mission work, and especially also cooperation of mission work between the churches in Holland and the churches in South Africa. So with this book, we wanted to inform the churches in Holland what is actually happening and how is church life and how is faith life on the mission field. This book was also translated in English. First, it was written in Dutch, but it's translated in English, and it gives a nice overview of what is life all about in South Africa, especially on the mission field. And if you are interested, it's also for sale. I saw here in the Pro Ecclesia bookshop. Okay, so those were some pictures I wanted to show you. Let me move now to the second part of my speech, and that is concentrating a bit on what are, for the future, our challenges and opportunities in South Africa. I thought of a few things that I would like to mention. In the first place, especially the last 5 years, we went through a difficult period. We had many vacancies with a heavy burden on those pastors who remained. The fact that we had so many vacancies was also a blessing in disguise, because we started realizing that we really should encourage young men to consider the ministry. And we really started to do that, talking directly, specifically with young men, and encouraging them to consider studying theology. And we prayed for that a lot. And today, as I stand here, I can mention that the Lord really heard our prayers. And at this moment, we have about 6 young men who are serious to study theology. Some of them have already started, and others are to start soon. So this is a real turn to the better, and we are very thankful for that. Next thing is theological training. Now, let me give you some background. Through all the years, we were dependent for our theological training on the Netherlands, on the University of Kampen in the Netherlands. However, a couple of years back, our synod decided to henceforth dissuade students to go to Kampen because of the growing scriptural criticism in Kampen. So we had to make a change, and it's easy to say that, but to also do that, and people getting accustomed to it, it's not always so easy. So in the present, our synod strongly recommends students to do their BA degree languages at a local university in the neighborhood of their congregation, their home church, and afterwards that they go to Hamilton, Canada, to do their M degree in theology there. In addition, our deputies for theological training are in close contact with Hamilton, and since recently, every year a Canadian professor will visit our churches. This is something you are perhaps accustomed to. For us, it is something new. Also, 2 years ago, we have installed video recording equipment in the two lecturing rooms in Hamilton. So all lectures are recorded and saved in the cloud, and we have a sort of memorandum of agreement with Hamilton to freely use all their intellectual property, especially to tailor-make specific programs for our mission students, for whom it's often difficult to go and study in Hamilton. So yeah, we sincerely hope that there can be increased cooperation in future between the churches, not only in Canada, South Africa, but also in Australia, as for theological training. And we hope for that, and I think with the technological advancements, I think more is possible than in the past. So that is with regards to theological training. Let me go to the next topic, and that is growth. Now, on the mission field, some mission points show strong growth, for which we are very thankful. However, other mission plans do not show growth. That's also a reality. Recently, beginning of this year, we had to close down one mission point. That is the reality we already know from scriptures. You can think of the parable of the sower. Wherever the seed falls, it doesn't always fall in fertile soil. And then as for, let me call it the Western churches, there is growth from the inside, as is the case also here in Australia, but at the same time, those churches are not expanding. And that is mainly because of immigration. So to put it very short and blunt, your gain is our loss. And often it's also only the rich people and the highly educated people that can immigrate. And the others don't have that opportunity. But the net effect often is that the amount of work in the churches remains the same, but it has to be done by fewer people. So that is a reality we have to be honest about. We are coping with at this moment. And then you could ask the question, should we therefore dissuade people to emigrate? I don't think the answer is that easy. I think as for every person and every family, often you have to give a different answer. And people are in different situations. Often young people are in other situations than elder people. And this is a reality. Okay. Another point we are dealing with a lot at the moment, you can call it a challenge or perhaps an opportunity, is the financial support of the mission. Now, for more than 50 years already, we have received funds from our sister churches in the Netherlands for the mission. And for many years, more than 90% of our mission budget came from the Netherlands. However, about 2 years back, Holland decided to reduce their funding to 50% at the most. And the impact of this was felt first in the support of our missionary, Reverend Breitenbach. And we are thankful for the support the Australian churches are giving in this regard. And we encourage you to continue to do so. However, this being said, there is another reality I should share with you. And that is that, as a matter of fact, the generous availability of funds from the Netherlands through all the years unfortunately also caused an sort of unhealthy dependence on foreign support on the mission field. So now that our big donor is retreating, we as Free Reformed Churches don't want to immediately try and replace them with a new partner giving financial support from abroad. So this challenge of Holland retreating, in it we also see an opportunity to rise above this unhealthy dependency syndrome. And for that reason, we don't immediately try and get finances from our sister churches here in Australia or perhaps in Canada to fill the gap that Holland has left. That said, fact is that there remain many opportunities and open doors to spread the gospel in South Africa and even neighboring countries in Africa. So it will be beautiful if we have overcome this, and when we look for new initiatives that perhaps some of your churches here in Australia can start cooperating in new mission outreaches in Africa. Thus far about our mission and financial support. Let me move to another topic. We are also involved with a lot at the moment, as you will know. Our relationship with the Reformed Churches in the Netherlands Liberated, GKV. Now, let me start by just quoting a few of our synod decisions, decisions taken by our synod in 2017. In the first place, they expressed thanks for the support and faithfulness in the Reformed Churches in the Netherlands. The Dutch churches support the Free Reformed Churches in South Africa through the mission work by providing ministers to serve also our vacant churches by producing Reformed journals and also by a lot of personal contacts. And also for the fact that the Reformed Churches in the Netherlands proclaim that they accept the Bible as the authoritative word of God and that they accept the Reformed confessions as standards and have a Reformed church order. That said, however, at the same time, Synod expressed sadness and alarm concerning developments in the Reformed churches in the Netherlands. For example, with regards to the acceptance of a new hermeneutics, also by lecturers at the Theological University in Kampen, which has serious consequences for Reformed church life. Sadness about the decisions taken by Synod of Meppel with regards to women in office, and also the intended unification with the Nederlands Gereformeerde Kerken, and also with regards to independentistic tendencies among certain ministers and consistories. So, in view of all this, Synod decided to continue the sister church relationship with the RCNL, but with the temporary suspension of Rules 5 and 6 of the relationship 5, the churches will allow each other's members to use the sacraments. And 6, the churches will give each other's ministers permission to preach the word of God and to administer the sacraments. And as a ground for this, our synod said that the South African churches should protect themselves from teachings and influences that undermine the authority of Scripture as we hold it and the well-being of our own congregations. The suspension of Rules 5 and 6 doesn't mean that the sister-church relationship is at an end, but it does mean that it is under severe pressure. If no changes will occur, the sister-church relationship will become untenable. The suspension is temporary in the hope that with God's grace it may be lifted if there is evidence of change. So that is what Elder Synod decided in 2017. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, I think it's very important to note that in South Africa, on a personal and also on a family level, the bonds between the Netherlands and South Africa are much stronger compared to Australia because of the similarity in language. There was and there is much more cooperation. At the one hand, this is beautiful, but at the other hand, it also makes the South African churches more vulnerable to influences and tendencies straying away from the Reformed faith. So this only makes the current situation so much more painful. So I would really want to ask you to pray for our churches in South Africa, that they will have the courage to do what is first and foremost pleasing to God in future with regards to our relationship with the Netherlands. Let me move on. Another important topic for our churches is our cooperation with the Reformed churches in South Africa, both local and also national. We have some growing cooperation with a few congregations from the federation called the GKSA, also known as the Dapper Churches. And this is very promising, and we are grateful for this. We see more and more that young people marry with each other, and there is also pulpit exchange. However, at the same time, this cooperation also poses some challenges, especially on the national level, because the GKSA is a quite diverse federation with different theological and political currents. There are, for example, congregations who ordain women in the offices of elder and deacon, and also their theological training in Potchefstroom. There are some liberal tendencies. So the question keeping us busy at the moment is how far you can go with local cooperation, whilst on a federational level, there is not really rapprochement. And linked to this, sometimes, perhaps you may experience the same, we also experience the bad habit of so-called church hopping, when members run into difficulties in their own congregation, when they are admonished, for example. It is from a human perspective so easy just to withdraw and to go to another church. And in the Pretoria area where we live, the region is a bit like what we can call a Bible Belt, which means that you have congregations of all different flavors. So there's the danger that people start choosing the church that best suits their need, just as you choose your supermarket. If you are admonished in the Free Reformed Church, for example, because of not attending church regularly, you just choose a church where they don't make a problem of that. So that is, yeah, also a challenge we have to deal with. Now, as summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism, we have three arch enemies: the devil, our own sinful flesh, and the world. And also, in South Africa, our members are continually under the influence, the onslaught of the world, secularism, start thinking according to the patterns of this world. One can think of the whole gender debate. Also issues regarding homosexuality. One can think simply of licentiousness. All these things added a whole worldview of evolutionism increasingly and incessantly come into our homes via television and internet. Added to that is also the peculiar political situation and tensions in South Africa. One can say after a period of reconciliation, roughly the Mandela era, at this moment, unfortunately, the tensions are building up again. And yeah, because of a failing government, which is mainly a black government, among white people, our church members included, there is a bit of temptation to start viewing all black people as corrupt and evil. Now, through all the centuries, this was a problem that people tended to draw the line between good and evil, parallel to the line between black and white in Africa. However, when we listen to God's word, there is only one antithesis, and that is between believing and unbelieving. But yeah, with the political tensions, it is important to keep realizing that. So yeah, unfortunately, racism is coming back from both sides, both black and white. And as for our church federation, as we are with both black and white churches, it is hard work to continue trusting each other, and I want to ask you please to pray for that. Now, talking about a political situation, it is indeed a challenge, but intentionally I only mention it now towards the end of my presentation because I don't think it's the biggest challenge. Sometimes people might think the biggest challenge in South Africa is the politics, the corruption, violence, but that's not true. I think when your orientation is to seek God's kingdom, there are other challenges, and this is not the biggest challenge. Somebody once told me, you guys who stay behind in South Africa, you're like a mouse in a pan of water, and when the pan got heated up, the mouse resists, but then get used to the heat, and then it's okay. And so it continues until the water is boiling, but by that time the mouse is dead. Now, I came back to South Africa 2005, that's almost 15 years ago. I'm still alive, so thank God for that. And we have a task to do there, and the Lord is also giving us what we need to do there. And indeed, to be honest, our churches have their challenges from time to time, for example, with unemployment, and our deacons are quite active from time to time. But I must honestly say, at the other hand, so often we have also seen the truth of those beautiful words in Psalm 37, and I really want to quote that this evening, where the psalmist says, "Young once, now old, I have seen how God has taken good care of those who on his help depend." I've never known the just to be forsaken or seen their children begging in their land. The Lord delights in those who without straying walk in his ways. On him they can depend. So those are the old words of the psalmist, and until today they are really true. And this brings us back to our calling in South Africa. Despite challenging circumstances and despite a lot of violence, there are also many opportunities for the gospel. And didn't Jesus warn us? Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, Matthew 10. So on the one hand, there is danger. But at the other hand, and I want to add that, unlike many Western countries, Africa, also South Africa, is still in the process of being Christianized. And the majority of the population regards it as a good thing, a decent thing, a privilege indeed, to be called a Christian. And granted, among many black people, Christianity is still very superficial, also mixed with pagan superstitions, syncretistic indeed. Nevertheless, the fields are ready to harvest. So how can you as churches in Australia reach out? Please pray that the Lord will continue to grow his church in Africa. And may he lead it such that perhaps in future you can also become involved with some of the mission projects. Let me quickly dwell on this one. Remain faithful. That is also what we may encourage one another as sister churches. It feels at this moment, if the Lord doesn't prevent it, that we are losing a sister church, the one in the Netherlands. And for us, this is very painful, and it has a devastating effect on a lot of things in South Africa. So this makes us all the more grateful for those sisters we still have, and we should encourage one another to remain faithful. I think there are good opportunities in future to more closely also cooperate as for theological training, and perhaps also, God willing, in mission. These are just a few more pictures. Right top you see the emblem of our churches, and the small letters at the bottom are in Latin. Ecclesia Christi fluctuat non mergitur. So it means although the Church of Christ is tossed around by the waves, it will not sink, it will not go down. And that is the hope we also have for Africa. You see there an old ship of the Dutch East India Company, and those European ships used to sail around the coast of Africa, the Cape of Storms, since the 15th century. And they mainly went there for business, but by God's grace, they also took along the Bible. And that is how the Christianization of Africa started. So what future is there in South Africa? I want to refer back to what we have read from God's Word. Psalm 24, the Lord, the whole earth belongs to the Lord. And also Hebrews 11, those who are believers, those who trust God, they are heading towards a better country, a better fatherland. And I think that should be our primary citizenship. Wherever we stay, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That is the first and foremost passport that we have. And we should never forget that wherever we stay. That was it. Thank you so much.
Are there any questions for Reverend Boone? Yes, just a minute.